In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. It's a very spectacular scene, and very emotional. No matter how many times you hear it, and no matter how many times you see it with your own eyes, it is still very brand new and it's still shocking. It's the reception of the Father to His lost Son. Of course, you hear this gospel once a year. The son who got lost, coming back. And the most amazing thing is the reception of his father. It's like the Mary, the father was. It's like the amazing party that the father threw for him. It's the thrill of that old man with the return of his son. As if he sees him for the very first time. And as if if Christ Himself came, as if angel from heaven came. And here is a person who got lost and lost everything he has and as the Bible says, devoured the life and the livelihood of his father with harlots. When he was coming back, he was received not only as a dear son, but as someone is like so beloved. So holy and so precious. And you hear this gospel, but I get the privilege to see this often. People coming back home to the bosom of the Father. And I'm telling you, it's the most precious and the most interesting and the most glorious scene you can ever see in this world. It's better than a baby or that is born, or it's better than a wedding, it's better than any other event in the world. It's the new birth of someone coming to the bosom of the Father. Is enjoying that. Every time it's brand new. Every time I see it, it's shining. That's what the Father sees. You want to know why they throw a party in heaven? It's because someone, as the Bible says, is that the heaven rejoices over just one person goes back home, goes back to the bosom of his father through a huge party in heaven. And the Bible cannot be wrong in this. How amazing that love. How unique this father is. How emotional. How loving. How forgiving. How can you resist the look in the eye of such a father? How can you look at his eye and not come back and not wish to come back home? And the more people go astray and the more they go wild when they come back home to the bosom of the Father, they appreciate it so much. David said that. David said, I would love to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the sinners outside. I'd love to wipe the floors here in the house of the Lord, to be home. Better than to be a king out there with the sinners. I tried everything. I tried these things. They're not fulfilling. It's not real. It's not true. But here is home. And when you come to the bosom of the Father, you feel, oh, it's good to be home. How many times you've seen that after going to a miserable trip, whether you planned for it or not? How many times you planned going to a nice vacation and something turns to be a hurricane, something bad, and whatever, you go to a different country and the people aren't very welcoming when you come back? Oh, it's good to be home. That's how it feels in the bosom of the Father. That's how it feels when the connection with God is there again. And here is an open invitation for this return, for this job which is called repentance, that everyone comes back. Everyone comes back to the bosom of the Father. This miracle this parable, the father did not go out to get his lost son. He could have gone and searched for him and brought him back, but he didn't. He didn't do that. He left him until he comes back. Why? We know that the good shepherd left the 99 sheep and went out to get the one that was lost. But that wasn't a sheep. That was a smart son. That was a son in the house. That was not a lost person from outside who didn't know the love of his father. This person lived in the father's house. This person experienced the love of his father. This parable is not for people who did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This parable is for the people who are here, who are in the household of God, who are children of God, but they, by their own will they choose to leave and to go astray and to search for other comfort. And the father says, I cannot do anything. I showed you the love on the cross already. I can do more than what I did already. You know that I love you. You know that I died on the cross for you. You know how much I can give you. I can give anything. I'm willing. If I gave up my life, I'm willing to give you anything. There isn't anything I would like to spare from you. You wanted half of my goods? Take everything. But if you want to come back home, it has to be your decision. Same way it was your decision to leave, must be your decision to come back. And I will be very waiting for you. And I will be very happy and very ecstatic, and I will throw a party when you come. But I cannot drag you, because you're a son. You're a daughter. You know who you are to me. You know how much I love you and how much I want you here. If this is the case, why do people get lost then? I've seen so many people changing for a short period of time, repenting, but going back. I've seen so many prodigal sons coming back. But you know what? The story is not complete in the Bible. Because we want to complete the story, because the prodigal son, he could come back home and then he can choose again to leave or to stay. It's his free will. He can choose. And I've seen so many people coming back, people changing after Holy Week, after a retreat, after a sermon, after a service, for a little while, and then going back again out of the house and out of the bosom of the Father. What happened to the prodigal son after he came back home? Let's see. Of course, it's not in the Bible, but we have to imagine, use our imagination a little bit, and see. Because the question now is not to come back to the bosom of the Father. It's inevitable that this son has to come, or he will be the most unsmart person in the entire world. Okay? He must come back. But the real question is, how can he abide in the house and not go out again and leave and go astray again? Let's see what was in the mentality of that son when he wanted to go back home. When he came to his senses, he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. This is his mentality. This is his attitude. This is his future. When I go back home, I will no longer be a son to my father because I'm not worthy. But I will live in my father's house as a servant. As a servant. Well, will the father agree that he lives as a servant? Will the father let him be one of the slaves in the house? I don't think so. And this is not what happened. The father was so happy for the return of his son. But when he was still a great way off, the prodigal son, his father saw him from a great way off. means like he was really looking for him every single day. He saw him and he had compassion on him. And ran. This old man running. Running after a lost son. And fell on his neck and kissed him. And accepted him. And the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. Of course, it's the ring of the father. It's the ownership. And sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Was lost and is found. He is my son. This is my son. Well, that's good news. Wonderful. He's not going to accept him as a servant. He's going to accept him as a son. Well, the lost, the prodigal son, in his mind, he wanted to be just a servant. And he would be very happy to be a servant in his father's house. But the father put like the first robe, the best robe on him, and not only he dealt with him as a son, but as a beloved son, as the owner of everything he has. It's a choice to live as a son or as a servant. Meaning, the following day in the morning, that's what the Bible doesn't say. We have to imagine that. Following day in the morning, this prodigal son, he has two options. Either to sleep in and rest in his nice comfy bed and wait for breakfast to come right on his bed. Okay? Because he's the spoiled one and they made everything for him. Or he would wake up in the morning very early before everyone and he prepares breakfast for everyone in the house. That's depending on his attitude to be a son or a servant. The father for sure wants him to be a son and will deal with him as a son and he will have the inheritance as a son. But what is his attitude? To be spoiled again? Stay late in his bed and wait for breakfast? What's going to happen if he gets spoiled again? First thing you know, he's going to be out of the house. His only way of staying in the house is actually to live as a servant. To live as a servant. And to be very happy and very content and very appreciating to his father that he's accepting him as a servant, not as a son. Because he has a lost, fallen nature. Tend towards sin. Wants to sin. Wants to be spoiled. Every one of us. We are born selfish by nature. That's why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to deny yourself every single day and carry your cross and follow me. Well, didn't you, Lord, carry the cross on our behalf so we don't carry the cross, so we don't die on the cross? Yes. But at the same time, if you want to be spoiled, you're going to lose everything and you're going to get out of the house again. The only thing, I will deal with you as a son, but you deal with me as a servant and be appreciative of what you have and do your best and do everything that the servants do. And that's how you abide and stay in the house. We call this free will slavery. Free will slavery. I offer myself to be a slave for you. And if you think these are my words, these are not my words. These actually are the words of St. Paul, who spoke about grace most, and who spoke about grace more than anyone else in the Bible, who spoke about the love of God the Father. He said, Paul, a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many times he offered himself as a bond servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? You're a son. No, I'm not even worthy to be a servant in the house of God. I appreciate him so much. I will do whatever it takes. I will do anything. I will live surely as a slave and not a son. Or else, we will take advantage of God's love. So many of us do very often, taking advantage of the love of the Father. And he doesn't mind, don't get me wrong. He doesn't mind, but the loss is ours. Because the first thing is going to happen, that we're going to be out of the house again. Because of our fallen nature, because of our selfishness, because I want to serve myself, because I want my comfort. And to tell you the truth, I don't know what's good for me. And I ruin everything so often. The only way for the prodigal son to live in the house, he got it right when he said, I'm not worthy to be called a son, but a servant in my father's house. Any spoiled kid here who went out there and tried this crazy life, when he comes back, if he comes back and live the same spoiled life again, first thing is, he's going to be out again. That is the problem. If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and carry his cross daily and follow me. Christ said, you are my friends, you are my children. But we go to him, we say, Lord, we are not worthy of such love. What is this? What is this part you're throwing for us? I'm not worthy. I did every foolish thing. I'm the most foolish person in the entire worldwide because I knew your love. I lived in your house. I tasted your grace. And I chose with my own will to leave the house and go out. I have no reason. I have no excuse. I am not worthy to be called your son. But make me as a hired servant. Not even a hired. I don't want to take any money. You know what? I want to live in your house and serve you for no money. St. Paul said it in this his epistle, the epistle of grace, the epistle of Romans. He said that, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Should we sin because we are children of God? Should we live a free life, do whatever we want to live? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? It depends on what are you obeying. You're obeying sin that leads to death, or you're obeying God leading to righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. It's because of the weakness of your flesh you need to be a slave of righteousness. He said that, for just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. That is the Christian. Slave with his own will to holiness, to righteousness, to God. But now having become slaves of God, St. Paul, who spoke and said, we are becoming children of God, we call him Abba Father, he says, slaves to God, because of our weak nature. You have your fruits to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. What is the difference between a son and a servant? Basically, for the servant, nothing is optional. Right? Doesn't have a choice. He has to do his chores. That actually was one of the Bible reading in the past week. When the servant come from outdoors, from the field, working all day, when he come, does his master tell him, oh, you rest and I'll bring you food and things like this? No. You go and fix meal for me, and after I eat, you sit down and eat. What is that? That's slavery. Yes. But do it with your own will. He's never going to ask you to do that. But we do it. We are slaves to the love of God, to the grace of God. We are slaves to that love that has never been shown before. The love that no one has given me. The love that's inexpressible. The love of such Father. I am slave to such love. And I will do everything. And I will obey. Prayers are not optional. Why? Because we're buying our salvation with the prayer, with the fasting. No. I do that because of the love. I'm slave to the love of the Father and to the grace. Otherwise, if I'm not slave to such love and such grace, that means I don't know it. I don't appreciate it. I've never received it before. Because if you taste such love, you can never take it lightly. You can never take it easy. It's either you reject it and you be slave, or you be slave to it. I would do anything for such love. Nothing is optional. Purpose of my life is no longer to please myself, but to please my Father. I'm living for Him. Nobody did with me what He did for me. It's amazing, it's great just to be here. It's to be in the bosom of the Father, to be accepted and loved by Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You want to abide in my love? You want to abide in my house? Take it so serious. I will obey. I will do whatever it takes. Whatever you tell me, I will obey. I will do anything. The Father is inviting everyone to come back home, but to come in order to stay, to abide in the house, and not to leave. He wants us to abide in His love. He wants us to come back in order to abide in the house, not to take more stuff from the house and leave again, not to take advantage of such love. See, the love of such Father, it's either you take advantage of, or you be a slave to it. And nothing, I promise you, there is nothing in the middle. It's either you obey everything and you be slave to that, and nothing. Prayer is not optional anymore. Fasting is not optional. Why? Because I have to? No, because I want to. I would love to. I would love to do 10 times more than that, because I've tasted the love of the Father. Watch and pray. Easy. That's not a problem. You want to abide in the house? Stick to the rules of the house. What is the rules of the house? The rules of the house that we have to communicate with each other. That is called prayers. Prayers are not optional. That's for those who want to stay and live, abide in the house. Those who tasted the grace of God and His love will do that. If you tasted that, if you're coming back, our purpose in this Lent that everyone comes back home, but comes to stay, to stick to the life, the strict life, to train, exercise yourself to godliness. Do your best, train yourself to wake up early. Train yourself to do whatever it takes. It's not optional. Take it this way, that you are a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a bond servant of such love. It's not optional what you do Sunday morning. See, the problem here, that we always go by our emotions. What I feel like doing today, or what I feel right. No, doesn't go this way. It's not what pleases me, but what pleases Him. What are you living for? Aren't you happy and thrilled that you are here back home in the bosom of your Father? Have you tried the life out there? Would you like to live in that again? So don't slack. Why slack? Can't take chances. Can't take advantage of the love of such Father. Let me give you an example of a girl that I've known for 10 years. She was having big ups and big downs in her spiritual life. Either doing great or either getting completely lost. And one day, she got fed up with this. She said, I don't know what to do. I want to stick to God. I want to be there. What do I do? She prayed. Somehow, something came to her mind saying, fasting. Fasting is the last thing I would tell a prodigal son. When someone is coming back, beg him, please, and come, and take it easy, and God is going to take it easy with you in the beginning. Something told her, you want to abide in the house? Fast. She said, I started fasting. The Advent fast was hard in the beginning, but you know what? It reminded me of prayer every single day. And I started praying. I went back to prayer, and I went back to the Bible reading. And I promised God for the rest of my life, I will fast every fast in the church. Wednesday, Friday, all the fasts. Why? Because I want to. I want to abide in the house. I want to stick to God. I want nothing to separate me from Him anymore. And if this is going to help, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live as a slave. I don't have option. What? You do have option. No. It's not an option. It depends on your mentality. Is it optional or not optional? That is the real repentance. I will go back and tell him I'm a servant. Not worthy to be called your son. Thank you for dealing with me as a son. Thank you for your acceptance. There is no words I can express my love and gratitude. But I will continue to live as a servant for you. That's why when we pray our Father, we say, make us worthy to pray our Father. Make us worthy. Because I'm not worthy to call you Father. I know myself. I did it with my own will, knowing your love and knowing how precious I am in your eyes. So this girl started, and fasting was easy. And once you abide in that, once you stick to that and put it in your life and in your heart, that it's not optional. I would love to be there. It's my privilege. Prayer is easy. So what? We are asked for so many things, crazy tasks at work, and we listen, and we obey, and we obeyed our nature in lawlessness, and we obeyed the sinful nature. Why not obeying God in order to live in that house and to appreciate being in that house? Let's come back and live and be a bond servants of Jesus Christ during this Lent. Let's be slaves to righteousness. Let's exercise ourselves to godliness. Let's toil in prayer and in fastings and in everything possibly we could do, not because we're earning our salvation, but because we're so grateful for the grace of God and for His fatherhood. And in order to appreciate this love, enjoy it, and live in it. You haven't been home for a while. It's a call. It's the best time. It's the time when the Father is saying, I'm here and open, and I want you to be back. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.